The last time we talked, if you recall, and I got to do just a tad bit of rehearsing to bring it in, Jesus had been invited to a synagogue in Luke chapter 13, and we ended at verse 17. And he had been invited into a synagogue, and what happened there is that while he was speaking, he saw a woman who was bent over by a spirit, and she was crippled. And so he saw her, and he called her forward, as you recall, and she came forward, and he spoke over her life, and he said, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." And he put his hands on her, and she popped up, you know, like that jack-in-the-box, and she popped up praising God. But what happened is the ruler or the leader or the pastor of the synagogue church, he became indignant, not with Jesus, but at the people, because the people, for some strange reason, came to church on the Sabbath to get ministered to. And he was upset about that. And so Jesus rebuked him and called him and others hypocrites. He said, "You're hypocrites." And then it says that he humiliated those that opposed him. He humiliated them. But it said the people were delighted with all the wonderful works that he was doing. So it wasn't only the woman who had gotten touched by Jesus. It was others as well. And the people were delighted. But all the leadership was all upset. So the reason I had to rehearse this with you is because the very next line, the very next verse, and I'm going to break it up so we'll get it, says this, and I want to put it up here for you, verse 18, and it says, then, after that happened, then Jesus asked. Now I want to show you something here to start with. You see, the reason I'm pointing this out is because all of my study aids and study helps kind of take Jesus out of that arena, of this semi-hostile arena where the people were all with him, but the leadership and others were all against him. It was a sort of a semi-hostile environment. All the study helps take him out of that environment. But that's not what was going on here. Then Jesus asked. And the point that I'm wanting us to get here is he didn't ask this to his disciples. He asked this to people, the hypocrites. He asked it to these indignant leaders. He asked it to the spirits that were there and causing people infirmities. He asked this to the people. What did he ask? And he said, what I want you to see is he's got their attention. He's got some that are really delighted in him, but then he's got the attention of others who don't like him at all. And he's like he pushes the envelope a little bit more, and he wants them to get something. And the question he asked, it always causes fireworks, and it is the week of the 4th, so it's okay. So he's causing fireworks. So I want you to see the question he asked in Luke 13, 18. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God? What's it like? What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to?" Now, if you ever want to get religious people upset, ask them about the kingdom of God. Push the envelope on them a little bit. Tell them what the Bible says about the kingdom of God. And you're going to get some fireworks. Now, what I like is that Jesus has decided to do a little teaching here while he's got their attention. And so he begins with a question. And I always like it when I always like to start my teachings with questions. So I'm going to start one right now with you. I'm going to ask you that same question. What is the kingdom of God like? What could you compare it to? What is it like? So, you know, the reason that it is such an interesting question is because most believers, most Christ followers would tell you, well, Delbert, what's going to happen is there's going to be a rapture, then there's going to be the great tribulation, and then, you know, the thousand-year millennia comes. That's a part of the kingdom coming then, but then after the millennia, that things get bad again, but then the new Jerusalem, it comes down out of heaven, and then the king. So they kind of say that, you know, the kingdom is like heaven. And certainly if you're not a Christ follower, and I hope some are here today that are not believers yet. I hope we have some here. But if you're not a Christ follower, certainly that's what you would think the kingdom of God would be, right? Because that's what we've always been told and taught that it is. It's heaven, right? Well, here's what I want you to hear today. The kingdom of God is not heaven. Jesus, out of his own mouth, with his own words, are going to tell you what the kingdom of God is like. And if you don't understand this, if you don't understand the principles, it is impossible to understand the kingdom of God. This is the importance of this lesson. You never understand what it's like. You'll never understand how it works. You'll never understand what it is if you don't understand what Jesus is about to tell us. So, I'm going to show you what he says in just a second, but before I do, I just got to make another point. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like. What is the kingdom of God like? What is it like? In other words, that's present tense, right? Is, right? That's present tense, right? Well, let me make it real clear to what he's asking them. What is it like right now? What is the kingdom of God like this moment in time? What is it like right now? Now, this is 2,000 years ago, standing in a synagogue, preaching to people. What was it like then? What was it like? What is it like right then? What is the kingdom of God like right now? Is it the same? What is it like to you? So this is a very, very important. Now, you got to realize what their response would be. What do you think their response would be? You know, he asked me, he says, what is the kingdom of God? Like, what kingdom? They say, what kingdom? I don't see a kingdom. You know, we're under Roman rule. What are you talking about, a kingdom? I don't see a kingdom. I don't see a king. See, what they were looking for was this Messiah to come riding in on a charger, a horse, not a car, a horse. He comes riding in on his white horse charger. And he comes in with this massive army, and what they do is they take over. They overthrow the Roman Empire, and they establish the nation of Israel as the kingdom of God. That's what their thought was, and what they thought it would be. That's what they think. And so here's Jesus asking them, what is it? What is it right now? They didn't see a kingdom. They don't see a king. They were looking for a Messiah with an army, and they had Jesus with a few ignorant fishermen, you know, a tax collector, and some prostitutes. What kingdom? I don't see a kingdom. And isn't that kind of what happens today? You see, that's one of the major things when I push the envelope and I push people about thinking about the kingdom of God. What kingdom? I don't see a kingdom. No, you say the kingdom is. Well, if it is, where is it? So, where is it to you right now? Where is the kingdom? So, this is the question that Jesus posed to them. And it's an extremely important question in all of our lives. And if it's impossible to understand the kingdom, how it works, how it operates, if you don't understand these principles. So, let's take a look at the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus about what is the kingdom of God like. We'll read the whole passage that we're going to be studying, and then we'll take it down a little bit. All right, verse 18. Then Jesus asked, what is, present tense, the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? So what he's doing now, he's going to start comparing what the kingdom of God is like. Going to compare it. It is like a what? A mustard seed? What kind of kingdom is that? A mustard seed kingdom? I mean, think about these people. Now, you and I have probably heard this all of our lives. If we've been in church or we've been in Sunday school, we've heard about the mustard seed, so it's not a shock. But think about these people. A mustard seed? What are you talking about? That's like a mustard seed, he said, which a man took and planted in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in his branches. Okay, so you didn't get that one. So again, he asked. I'll try another one. What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? So he asked the same question, maybe in a different way. Okay, it is like yeast. It's like what? We got a mustard seed kingdom. We got a yeast kingdom. Come on, man. What are you talking about? Made of yeast, like yeast, that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Now, what I first want you to see is that Jesus did not compare the kingdom of God to heaven. He does not compare the kingdom of God to a millennium. He does not compare the kingdom of God to the New Jerusalem. It's not what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is like yeast. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. What? That's like, to them, that's weird. Man, you're crazy. That's not what we've been taught. That's not what we've been told. All of our lives, that's not what we've been told. Is that not the same today? We're not taught to connect the dots correctly in the scriptures. We skip dots or we do something. I don't know what we do. But we don't make it right. What Jesus is saying, here's what the kingdom is like right now. At this moment in time, when he said that to those people at that church service, when he said that then, the kingdom of God was like a mustard seed. A mustard seed that was about to be buried in a grave. And in 3 days, it's going to bust forth. And it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow until it fills the whole garden. And that's what a mustard plant would do. It would be a big old bush, and it would take over the garden. It got so big, you didn't put one in the middle of the garden. You had to put it off to the side if you wanted it in your garden, because it got so big. And it attracted birds. You don't want birds in your garden. You know, it says, so he said, you don't put it right there. And what he says is, that's what happens, though. It takes over. And he says, this is going to grow so big, it's going to go into the earth. And the nations are going to build their nest in its branches. They're going to perch in its branches. People in nations are going to build their families in the kingdom of God. I've done that. You've done that. That's what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like yeast. What? Yeast. See, yeast is powerful. We don't think of yeast as being powerful. Yeast is powerful stuff. Yeast has the potential and the power to totally change the consistency and the composition of flour or meal or wheat or whatever that you put it in. It changes the composition of whatever that it gets into. It goes and it permeates and it ferments. It changes everything. And he says, that's what it is. And he said, he's at the ascension, you know, he was resurrected, the mustard seed had resurrected. And he told his disciples, he said, I want you guys to go back to Jerusalem. We've been with them 40 days. He says, I want you to wait there until the yeast comes. if you'll just let me use that analogy for a minute, it'll make a little more sense in just a second. When the power comes, and when that comes, it's going to change your composition. It's going to make you different people. I'll read it to you in Acts chapter 1, and verse 8. But you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit yeast comes on you. And we know what that means. It goes in you, right? You're filled with the Holy Spirit. So when it comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You know what that word is in the Greek? Martyrs. You're going to be martyred for this thing. You're going to give your lives for this thing. It's going to change you so much, you'll give your life for it. You're going to be witness for me. And you're going to start permeating. And you're going to start fermenting. And you're going to start changing the composition of Jerusalem. And you're going to change the composition of Judea. And you're going to change the composition of Samaria. In fact, you know what you're going to do? You're going to change the composition of this whole world to the ends of the earth. That's what this yeast is going to do. Right now, this moment in time, right now, the kingdom of God is like 33% of the world's population. Right now. At that time, it was a mustard seed. But right now, it's growing and it's expanding. 33% of the world's population are Christ followers. Believe in Jesus Christ. The hugest belief ever, not just now, but ever in the history of mankind. That's what it's done. That's how it's fermented. That's how it's grown and enlarged and changed the composition of the world. The whole earth. So where is the kingdom of God like right now? What is the kingdom of God like right now in the earth? Well, the way I see, because Jesus said this is the way it was going to be, the way I see is this is about 33% done. Does that make sense to you? That's what he said, right? It's going to fill the whole earth. Well, we're third done. That's what he said, right? If it's going to fill the earth, okay? So this is what he said. So now, we can see what the kingdom of God is like out there. We can see what it's doing out there. But what is the kingdom of God like to you? Right now, this moment, what would you compare it to in your life right now? If it's not heaven, and it's yeast in mustard seed bush, where is it at in your life? You see, because the kingdom isn't just out there. It's not just going to come out there. The kingdom's got to be in you. In fact, if it's not in you, it doesn't matter if it's out there, right? And that's exactly, you know, what Jesus told people. The Pharisees, in the King James Version, says, demanded of him when the kingdom of God would come. Okay, if you're the Messiah, if you're the Son of God, then when's your kingdom coming? He says, you guys don't get it, do you? So here's what he said. Let's look at it in Luke 17:20. Once having been asked, and the King James Version says demanded, by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come. That's a good question. A lot of people still ask that. When is it going to come? Jesus replied, oh, well, the kingdom of God, it doesn't come like you think. It doesn't come with your careful observation. Is that what it says? Now, let me talk about that a second. So take that down just a moment. Okay, now, have you ever tried to carefully observe a bush or a tree growing? And you look at it. What do you see? Is it growing? But do you see it? Because you don't see it with your careful observation, do you? But it's growing. You ever looked at yeast working in bread, in dough? Is it working? Is it? But can you see? No, you just look at it one time and it's this big. You look at it another time and it's this big. You know, no, you can't see it with your careful observation. And when the kingdom grows, it's not with careful observation. Well, why can't? Well, you're not going to see it here. You're not going to see it there. That's what he says. Why not? Why can't I see it here? Why can't I see it there? That's what he says. Let's look at it. Does it come with your careful observation? Or will people say, here it is or there it is? Why? Because the kingdom of God is where? Within you. See, what Jesus is saying to these people is, listen, guys, you don't understand it. It really doesn't matter. You're all keyed up for it to come out there. But what really matters is it coming in here? Is it coming within? It doesn't matter if it comes out there. You need to get it within you. Because that's where it does its work. That's where it really changes the world. That's where it makes its big difference. And it happens the same way to every single person who ever receives the seed and whoever receives the yeast. Their life changes identically. It's fascinating to me because I just know how it works. The sower goes forth to sow the seed, and that's what Jesus said, right? Sower goes forth to sow the seed. So you get a seed, a little mustard seed in you, a little Jesus seed. It gets in your heart, and it takes root, and it resurrects in there. And it comes to life, and it starts growing, and it starts expanding until it finally takes over the whole garden. That's what happens. You get a little yeast in there, and it starts mixing in, the yeast of the Holy Spirit, and it starts working in your life, and it starts fermenting, and permeating, and changing the consistency, changing your whole life around, the whole construction of your life. And your life changes, and you just begin to see life differently, right? You begin to live life differently. That's what we do, right? And this is exactly what Jesus said happens when the kingdom of God is happening in your life. See, a guy named Nicodemus, He's a Pharisee. He was a teacher. He came to Jesus one night, and he's talking to Jesus, asking Jesus questions. He says, "We know you're from God." He said, "But I got some questions I want to ask." Now, obviously, he's talking about the kingdom of God, and so so Jesus tells him something that's really emphatic here, and I want to show you the emphasis of what Jesus is saying. So he's talking to this guy, and this guy's a teacher. And so Jesus, in John 3:3, he says this, Jesus, in reply, what did he do? He declared. Now what does that mean? Nicodemus, I'm not lying to you, Nicodemus. Nicodemus, I'm telling you the truth. No one, how many? No one can, what? See the what? The kingdom of God unless he is what? Born again. Now, okay. Let's work there just a second. Leave that up. Look at it. You're born again so you can go to heaven? Now, that will be an outworking if this happens. Why are you born again? What's the purpose? To see life differently. To see things the way God sees things. To see an abundant life. See life the way you're supposed to see it, the way you were created to see it. And he goes on with Nicodemus. Nicodemus still ain't getting it, you know, just like us. He goes on. He says, in verse 5, he says, Jesus answered, man, get it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. No one, how many? No one can enter. Now we're talking about seeing it. Now we're talking about entering it. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is what? Born of water and of the Spirit. Why do you have the Spirit of God? Why are you water baptized? Why is water mixed with that dough, mixed with that flour and that yeast? Why? Why? So you can go to heaven? If this happens, you will. But it's so you can enter into a new dimension of life, so that you can enter into a life that's abundant. So that you can nest in the branches of the kingdom of God. So that life comes the way life is supposed to come to us. So you can see the kingdom. You can enter the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus says is supposed to happen to us. And this happens to every single one of us. I've never seen anybody who didn't receive the seed or the yeast of the Spirit of God. I've never seen their lives not change. I've never seen them live, the whole composition of their lives redirect. Their whole life. I'm not talking about just living longer or whatever. I'm talking about the marriage is better. Your finances are better. Your home is better. You know, your occupation is better. A whole life is better. Never seen anybody who experienced this that did not happen. See, and I think, I know about you. I know how you are, and because I know how I am. I know this about you. Because I know about billions and billions and billions of people. When this happens in our life, when the seed comes in of Jesus, and when the Spirit yeast of the Spirit comes into our lives, then our lives change, our lives get bigger, our lives enlarge, our lives get better. When our lives experience the kingdom of God, when it comes within us, that's what the kingdom of God is like. Our lives are better. Our lives are bigger. We accomplish goals we never thought we would. We live a life we never thought we could. That is what the kingdom of God is like. I think a primary point that Jesus would want us to know is that we change within. It's not without, it's within. It's not by laws and commandments, right? See, he always got upset with those laws and those commandments. He didn't like those laws and those commandments. He says, let's take them all away and just do one. Let's love one another as I've loved you. Let's. I get a new commandment I give you. Let's take all those others. I don't like this stuff. You know, because the kingdom of God doesn't force you from the outside to change. It changes you from the inside with a desire. As you expand and as you grow in God's garden, you expand and you grow in a relationship with Father God through Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit, with Father God, through the mustard seed, through the yeast, working in our lives We have a relationship with God. So, is the seed in you? If it is it growing? Is the yeast in you? If it is it expanding and changing your composition? How do you know? Well, are you growing in God's garden? Are you growing in your relationship with God and with people? That's how you know that the kingdom is there. I want to read the passage one more time, and I want to bring out one more point, and then we'll pray for some people. In Luke 13:18. Then Jesus asked, and I pray you're going to see it different this time as we read through it, because it's impossible to understand how the kingdom works, what the kingdom is, what the kingdom is like, unless you understand this. Then Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? Well, it's like a mustard seed, which a man took. What did the man do? He took the seed, and what did he do? And he planted it. Now, that's what I want us to see. That was his part. He planted it in his garden, and what did it do? It grew. Did the man make it grow? No. Can you make it grow? No. It does it all by itself because it's inherently designed to grow. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. And again, he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like yeast that a woman took. Now, what did the woman do? She took the yeast. And what'd she do? And mixed it. That's what she did. That's what her part was. Into a large amount of flour until, what did it do? It worked. Did she work the expansion? It worked. The yeast did it. Because why? It's what it inherently does. It works. It worked all through the dough. It fermented. It permeated. It changed the composition of that flour. It did it. Unless we understand this principle, these principles that he's projected us, we'll never understand the kingdom of God. It's impossible to understand it. Because you're going to think of it way out there somewhere. We're going to think of it coming one day. That's not how it is. It's not how it is. Here's how the kingdom of God really is. You see, our part is to take the seed, the mustard seed, that we have, and be sowers and go forth. And sow that seed. That's what we do. We sow the seed. And then we leave it alone. I mean, it's going to grow by itself. If we just get it in, it's just a tiny little thing. Surely you can slip that in somewhere on somebody, couldn't you? I mean, it's just a little bitty thing. And so you slip that in on them, and there it starts growing all by itself. And eventually it'll take over their lives. And you take the woman just took the yeast, just a little yeast. And she yeasted that dough, that flour, and it worked its way. It did all the work. Why? Because it inherently is created to do that. It changes the composition. And what we do, what you and I are to do, is sow the mustard seeds and to sow and to throw the flour, the yeast, you know. Just fling it out there. And let it work. It'll work. I was trying to think of an analogy that I could kind of show you, because I think an important point that Jesus makes is just the smallest thing can have such a massive influence upon people. Just a little seed, a little bit of yeast can have such a massive amount of influence upon people. So I was kind of looking at an analogy. How many of us, this might work, we'll see. How many of us can name like the last 10 or 12 presidents of the United States? Good. Most people can't, right? Would that be fair to say that most of us couldn't do that? I can do 12, but it's because that's how long I've been living. I've had 12 presidents in my lifetime. But most people can't do that. How about the first five? Can you name the first five? You can. That's good. But how many of us could? See, not many. Yeah. Here's the point that I'm wanting to get across. See, those were big influential names. Man, those are big names. Those are huge names. Right? But most of us, I don't remember. I don't know nothing about them. But let me ask you this. What about a teacher? when you were young and in school? What about a teacher that really impacted your life and was a major influence on you? Remember her? I remember my first grade teacher. That was a long time ago. I remember my first grade teacher. Her name was Ms. Walker. She taught me how to read. And she taught me how to write. I still remember her. She wasn't a president. She's just a little grammar school teacher. I remember my third grade teacher, Ms. Ruth. She taught me how to multiply, taught me how to divide, made me write legibly. And I have a pretty good handwriting for a guy. But I remember Ms. Ruth because she impacted my life. Just normal people. She wasn't a president. Wasn't even a big name teacher. Just a little grammar school teacher. But I remember. How about a person, a friend who maybe was there with you in a tough time of life? You know, that stuck with you, made sure you were okay, maybe protected you when you were going through a very, very difficult time in your life. Protected you, took care of you, made sure you were all right. Remember them? Remember them, don't you? Why? Because they tremendously influenced your life. They touched your life. How about the person who maybe got that mustard seed in you, that witnessed to you, somehow worked with you just a little bit to get that yeast of the Holy Spirit working inside of you? Remember that person? Maybe made the Word of God come alive like it never had come before, alive in your life. Remember that person? I do. This is what we do. This is what you and I do every day of our lives, everywhere we go. We're planting mustard seeds. We're planting Jesus in the hearts and the lives of people. Everywhere we go, we're spreading a little yeast. Spreading a little yeast. Everywhere we go, we're changing the world. Everywhere we go, we're bringing the kingdom. And the kingdom is expanding because that's what we do. And because that's what the kingdom of God is. Let's pray.